Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Tristan Baranowski from CLK Elementary School. Ms. Baranowski is an educator who completely understands that teachers who show their students that they care about them have students that perform to the best of their abilities. Students of all abilities are celebrated and encouraged to reach for the stars. Her positive tone of teaching makes students comfortable and helps them go in the right direction. If you know an amazing educator like Ms. Baranowski, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome to another edition of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them and the upcoming Giving Tuesday campaign at phfgive.org. This is November. It's a month where we focus on hospices and the work that they do providing end-of-life care to our loved ones and people in the community. I welcome in Mike Lutz from Omega House. Good to have you back on the program, Mike.
All right, thank you for having me.
Let's start with the basics. What is Omega House?
Well, Omega House is a small adult foster care home in Houghton, up next near to the Bluffs Senior Living Center. Hard to believe. We've been around now for 17 years, and we have 8 beds, and our main goal or our mission is to care for the terminally ill. So if you are enrolled in hospice because you have been given a terminal diagnosis, Omega House may be a fit for you. We provide 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care, around-the-clock care, and provide all the amenities that you would need to have a great quality end-of-life experience.
Now, you have to qualify for hospice at some level. What are the qualifications?
Well, most of the qualification is done through the hospice agency. The hospice agency, first of all, you have to have a diagnosis that is terminal, and I believe it has to be signed off by 2 physicians. And then you enroll in one of the local hospice agencies. Once you get to that step, then you can come to Omega House. The difference is Omega House isn't Medicare or Medicaid certified. It's what we say all private pay. Your actual hospice care would be covered under the hospice agency and the Medicare rules that go with that. So
how does somebody pay for this? Because I know it's not cheap.
Well, you know, it's very affordable at Omega House. And, you know, we do everything based on income at Omega House. So when you come to us, we're going to ask you for financial records, bank statements, tax forms, whatever. We'll do an assessment on your finances and find out where you lie. Our top price, $295 a day. That is expensive. But I'll tell you that hardly anybody pays that amount. When you come to Omega House, it's based on income. If you have very little, you're going to pay very little. And we'll find a rate that works within your budget. And I can tell you that over half of the families or residents that come to Omega House pay less than the full cost to stay there. And and that's where, you know, the community helps with their donations and makes up the difference. So
that was going to be my next question. Obviously, your top rate is based on your costs. If you're charging less than the top rate, then somebody needs to make up those costs. Where does that money come from?
Well, that money, you know, let's go back and look at Omega House has had the same model since its inception back in 2005. We get our income from 2 sources. One, whatever families can pay to stay at Omega House. And the other side of that is community donations. And of course, some of that's fundraising and grants, those kinds of things. But the bulk of everything that community support is over 60% of our annual income. So it is very important to us. And I would just say that those donations go right back to helping families who don't have the resources to pay the full cost. So Every dollar you donate to Omega House goes right into helping someone else down the road that's going to be coming.
And while we're on that subject, you are part of the Portage Health Foundation's Giving Tuesday campaign that is coming up. How important is that to your operation?
Well, you know, it's super important. We used to be able to figure when we're doing our budgeting that 30% of our annual donations would come in the last 6 weeks of the year, you know, the giving season. We send out a fall appeal letter, you know, those kinds of things. But since Giving Tuesday has come in and with Portage Health Foundation's support and help, we've noticed that we receive closer to 45, almost 50% of our annual donations now come at the end of the year. And that's important because that's the money that helps take us into the new year and help operate the facility.
Do families that use your service sometimes include you in a will, for example, or in some kind of other bequest?
Yeah. You know, those long-term types of donations, the larger ones, part of an estate, people leave a portion or something in their will for Omega House. Yeah, planned giving is obviously very big, and we have been lucky enough to have a few over the years, and those gifts are generally larger and help you know, support the house and the upkeep and you know, our long range goals, I would say.
Capital type things as opposed to day-to-day operations.
Yeah, you know, after being around for 17 years, it seems like a lot of my focus as a director is, how's the house running? What needs to be replaced? You know, we just, you know, installed a huge generator a year ago. We put in a new boiler system this spring. So, you know, those are big ticket items. And, you know, replacing a stove, a refrigerator, dishwasher, all that stuff comes into play now 17 years later.
And that's very typical. I know in working in home construction years ago and real estate, you tend to look at that 20-year period and say, okay, by this time, if the appliances haven't been replaced, they're going to go. The heating system, the average life of a heating system is about 20 years. Water heaters, somewhat less than that. The average life of a roof tends to be 20 to 25 years.
Yeah.
And so if you have a new building, you can kind of expect when you get to that 15 to 20-year range, all of a sudden you're going to see a big need for some investment.
Yeah, we're in that phase right now. You know, looking at every year now, we put a few items into a capital budget that helps, you know, with the larger things. I mean, we're looking at, you know, replacing our carpeting in the new year. The roofing looks good, but, you know, it's going to be getting over 20 here pretty soon. So that's going to be a big expense. And, you know, it's all worth it to have one of the, you know, the nicest facilities in the area, I believe.
Talking with Mike Lutz from Omega House. Well, speaking of facilities, you are still the only residential facility in the Upper Peninsula. There are other organizations that provide home hospice service, but are you still the only residential service?
Well, not any longer. We were the first back in the early 2000s when Omega House came into play. Since then, you have, I believe it's Hospice of the Eastern UP out in Sault Ste. Marie. That's a 5-bed facility. And then maybe more of our listeners probably have heard of the Trillium House in Marquette, which is kind of, well, they came up many times and we shared our blueprints and helped them. I mean, when you see the outside of the building, it looks just like Omega House. So we've become kind of the model for end-of-life care homes throughout the UP. There's talk of getting one down in Escanaba and some other places in the UP. It's not easy. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of money that has to be raised, especially nowadays. When Omega House was put up, well, we're going back 20 years now, capital campaign had to raise $1.2 million to put up the home. And we were supported generously by our community. You know, we received hundreds, probably thousands of donations. Many of them were your $25, $50 donations. But all of that together helped fund what we needed to put up the house. So we are debt-free, which is kind of nice.
Well, that's essential. Yeah. If you're going to keep providing the service, you are at reduced rates in many cases.
Exactly.
You can't do that with a huge mortgage.
No.
Over your head.
No, can't do it.
Well, and let's admit, too, that the facility is only half of it. You have to staff the facility. You have to have people there 24/7. Mm-hmm. How many paid staffers do you have? How many volunteers do you have?
Well, yeah. We have three full-time employees, including myself, and then we have like 19 or 20 part-time CNAs. I have a couple of RNs on staff, too. And that's been a challenge, you know? I mean, we've all heard about employment in our area, and it's tough to fill positions. We've had to infuse nearly $100,000 into our upcoming budget in our wages just to remain competitive with other facilities in the area in attracting nursing assistants and qualified staff. So that's the biggest thing that we've seen coming out of, you know, COVID at this point and you know, letting the dust kind of settle on that. But it's you have to remain competitive. Without my staff, we don't have a business. And, you know, taking care of hospice patients is not an easy job. My staff is, I think, one of the best staffs we have in the area. And then you couple that with we are a volunteer-driven organization as well. So we probably have 25 to 30 active volunteers helping us out. We can always use more. And that's how a lot of families who have lost loved ones at Omega House give back. If they can't do it financially, they can do it with their time. And, you know, we see many of our families come back and donate by helping with some type of project we're working on. Maybe they come back every week and help cook a meal or just do light vacuuming, cleaning type things. So our volunteers are extremely important to us. And we tend to get, you know, good requests. We get a lot of the college students, especially the health career type students coming in to fulfill some volunteer hours. So we get to see a lot of different folks come in.
Is there an emotional challenge that comes with this, knowing that basically every patient you meet is going to die soon?
Yeah. Well, you know, it at times it is emotional up there. We get to become an extension of these families. We're their extension. You know, we're in the rooms with them all the time. We're explaining the end of life process to these families, you know, sometimes daily. As we get closer, there's things that we recognize that we know time is really short. And having those conversations with our families, I think, helps them at ease so they know what's going on. But, you know, it is still very emotional. And, you know, for families that have been there for a longer time, you know, we get to know them better. And, yeah, it is a challenge. But I will say, you know, in talking to a lot of people in the community that, you know, oh, I don't know if I could work at Omega House. I mean, it must be just so sad and gloom. It's not gloom and doom at Omega House. I mean, it's everybody up there is living. And we do everything we can to make their last chapter in their life just as meaningful as their life when they were in their prime. And, you know, the simple things is, you know, what kind of music do you like? Do you have a favorite TV show? You know, just all those kind of things. You know, somebody may want their hair looking beautiful, you know, right till the end of time. And we have people that come in, volunteers that'll come in and do hairstyling. And, you know, those things that are important still remain important, even at, you know, end of life.
Is it a little different for your medical staff to provide palliative care instead of doing things to try to make somebody better? I mean, if you go into the healthcare field, generally your motivation is to make people better. In this case, you know that they're not going to get better, mm-hmm. but your job is to make them comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when we hire registered nurses, our registered nurses don't do what they would do probably in a hospital setting. I mean, they take the directions from a hospice nurse, one of the agencies in town. So when they come, they know they're not going to be doing nursing type work that you would do in a hospital. It is comfort care. And when you find hospice nurses, it's who you find that makes a difference. And they have to be good with knowing that, you know, their job is really holding a hand and making sure that patient is pain-free, first off, well-fed, dry, clean, you know, those kinds of things. And it's just a different type of care. It's very compassionate. It's very loving. It's very touchy-feely.
Dignity.
It is.
It's dignity in those last days, which can be undignified, let's admit.
Let's cut to the chase. End of life is not pretty sometimes.
No.
And it's difficult to try to do it at home. And I get that families, you know, want to keep their loved ones at home as long as they can. And it's rewarding, but it's physically exhausting. And you just can't do it. And then you become a caregiver at home and no longer kind of like the family member. And that's when I say, you know, that's the time to come to Omega House. Let us take care of the care. And you reconnect as a family, reminisce, talk about good times, and just be a family again. And, you know, sometimes there's, you know, at end of life, there's a lot of dynamics that take place within families that, you know, we hope that we can smooth out and maybe mend some broken relationships and those kinds of things too.
There is that aspect to what you do in terms of a little bit of counseling for the families, grief counseling. I know you run a monthly grief support group.
Yeah. So we're there for everyone, you know, not just the resident. Of course, that's the main goal. We're taking care of the resident, but we're there for the family too. And well, after their loved one has passed, we're there for our third Thursday of the month grief workshops. And those are open to everybody in the community. You don't have to have lost someone at the Omega House. That's just open. You can do it via Zoom or in person at the Omega House. This month, it's all on Zoom due to my educator is traveling. So we would like to let the community know that, yeah, we have, you know, grief. There's a lot of people suffering from loss. That could be from the death of someone. It could be from divorce. It could be, loss encompasses so many different things. And we're here to help everybody. And, even with our grief program, but we also offer respite care, which is, and I'll go back. Like I said earlier, we have 8 beds. 7 are for hospice and 1 is for respite care. About 5 years ago, we added on another room and designated that for respite care, which is more of a caregiver break kind of thing. We all know someone who's been caring for someone at home, maybe mom or dad. You're caring for mom or dad, grandma or grandpa. That becomes a full-time job. You miss out on certain events. Maybe your daughter's getting married and you just, I want to go, but I'm taking care of someone. That's when you want to talk to us about respite care. Short-term stays, somebody that's not dying, but, for a few days or a few weeks, come on up. If they're a fit for our home, maybe we can help you out and then you can take that long vacation you have, a long-awaited vacation or go to a wedding or some type of event,
Or just get that emotional break that you need sometimes if you've got a situation that's really kind of dragging on, because we know that sometimes end of life comes quickly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a long time to develop, and that can be very wearing on a family.
Yeah, it's physically exhausting. And, if you want to be a top-notch caregiver, you need to watch your own health too. And stepping away from it for a week or two is sometimes some of the best things you can do for your health.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My father passed away a few weeks ago downstate. He was 93 years old. He was active up until his last couple of months, but had developed a lot of pain, back pain. He broke a hip, and that was a problem, and there were other things that went on, and his body deteriorated rather quickly. Mm-hmm. I spent his last week visiting him at the hospital a couple of times a day. And then he wound up in hospice. in Battle Creek, as a matter of fact, and only spent one day there. He was one of the quick ones. Once he checked in, that was pretty much the end of it. He kind of, I think, understood the end was coming and surrendered to that. But it was so reassuring for me personally and for us as a family that there was that soft landing place for him. And he had struggled in the hospital. He'd been diagnosed with COVID, so they couldn't boot him out of the hospital. There's a rule if you get, right now, if you're diagnosed with COVID-19, you have to be in the hospital for 10 days. Right. And so he struggled there for a while. But the conversations that we had with the hospice people preparing for that and the facility that was there and just knowing that it existed was such a reassuring thing for us and for our family that I'm just very thankful that we had that option. And I'm very thankful that people in the Copper Country have that option too.
Yeah. You know, Omega House is such a treasure to this community. And, you know, your story is very familiar. And you know, my condolences on your loss. I know that's not an easy thing to go through. You know, people can enter Omega House and, you know, you get a diagnosis that, it's terminal, but you have long, months, even years. Some people have a massive stroke or a heart attack and they end up, possibly at Omega House and the stay is a lot shorter. Maybe a lot of our listeners or the community, full transparency, my average length of stay at Omega House is probably less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
On average. Some people stay a little bit longer and whatever. And we talk about what it costs to stay there. And I want to kind of go back to this because we have a fund. It's called the Gerald Viral Memorial Fund, which was set up about 4 years ago by Mr. Viral's best friend. Now, Jerry Viral was a prominent attorney in our area and did a lot of good things and was very, very helpful to those who had very little. And they thought, what a fitting thing to do. His family and his best friend made an initial donation to start a fund to help people come to Omega House who have very little also. It provides 30 days of free care. So when your average length of stay is less than 3 weeks, many people experience free care, never see a bill, you know, and it's just a wonderful way to donate to Omega House, put it in the Gerald Viral account and help many more patients.
What a blessing that is
to
families. Because the other thing that was so heartwarming about just that one day that he spent there, he had been in the hospital. They were still trying to decide whether he was a rehab candidate. They were trying to get him out of bed. He had back surgery. He had hip surgery. He was in terrible pain. It was heartbreaking to watch. And once they made the decision that he was hospice eligible, even in the hospital, they could start palliative care. And all of a sudden, he was on pain medications that they couldn't put him on before. And that pain was gone. And what a relief that was, I know, to him, and certainly to those of us who were watching him. So I will ever be grateful to the hospice situation. Like I say, it only lasted a day. He checked in one evening. I visited him there the next day before heading back here for home. And I got a call as I was driving home from my sisters that he had passed away at the hospice.
You know, that decision of when to go to hospice is difficult for many families. And I see it all the time, we get phone calls from the hospitals in different places saying, do you have any beds available? We want to talk to a family. So even at that point, they're not sure they want to go into hospice. Of course, we want our loved ones to be with us as long as we can. But at what point, we need to ease the pain. We need to ease the suffering. If it's a disease that's going to take you eventually, you know, let's look for a quality of life more than quantity, I suppose, at this point.
If folks want to find out more about Omega House, Mike Lutz, how do they go about it?
Well, you can do a lot of different things. Obviously, we have a website like most businesses do. So omega-house.org will get you to our website. We welcome folks to just come up to the Omega House and take a look. I mean, check out what our community has. We're located at 2211 Marine Lane in Houghton. So that's behind Festival Foods, kind of, you know, next to the Bluffs up in that area. So, and of course, you can always reach out to us at 482-4438. Ask for me if you have questions. We'll help you along. Maybe you have someone that is in hospice now or trending that way. Maybe we can answer a few questions for you and help you with that.
Mike Lutz, thank you for your time from Omega House.
Thank you for having me.